Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into a Saturday morning here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Rohde, and I get to be with you guys until 12:45. That is when the Cubs and Pirates will play ball at Wrigley Field. A 120 first pitch to be made by one Matthew Boyd, who, look at Matthew Boyd. Have you looked at the ERA lately for Matthew Boyd? 289. Yeah, he's crept into that territory. It's June, and he's still pitching well. Is he something special for the Cubs this year? Is he one of those one-year wonders? And I know that there's a resume for Matthew Boyd, but I'm already looking forward to that. Cubs and Pirates at 120 today. Yes, this is Saturday Suckage. I'm in for Steve Rosenblum, even though we are the co-founders, but I like to hand him that respect because he typically mans this show. He has taken on the responsibility in my constant absences of continuing on the tradition of the WB Club, Saturday Suckage, whatever title you want to give it. Steve Rosenblum is on it just about every single Saturday, so I give him... He gets first credits for sure. This show stars Steve Rosenblum, and I am here just providing job security for him and trying to keep a certain amount of suckage involved too. The good news is that the suckage, you will sense the suckage probably throughout the day too, because Adam Studzinski, one of the quintessential, I would say, or just essential producers of Saturday Suckage through the years, is producing this show here today, and that doesn't happen every week anymore. So it is certainly a unique day today on the Score, and in particular Saturday Suckage coming up on the show. Very good. Coming up on the show today, you know we're going to talk some Bears. So Scott Bear will join us from the Marquee Sports Network to talk about the Chicago Bears. They just wrapped up their OTAs this week, the off-season program. Just kind of trickled out at the end of this week. I think they even may have gotten together yesterday. So the timing is perfect. You know, at some point in time, we'll go through my takeaways from the OTAs and what to look forward to in camp and what I really want to see in camp specifically from Caleb Williams. But, you know, that Bears talk will be coming up for you in about 20 minutes from right now. Check this out. At noon today, we go to Wrigley Field, and we will go into the press box, and then we'll take a left into the radio booth, and we'll be joined by Ron Coomer, radio analyst right here on The Score and the Cubs radio network. So we're going to get a live look in from Wrigley at noon. And I know some of you guys are waking up and listening to The Score and you're going to the game today. Sick. Maybe you're already on your way down to the, I bet some of you guys listening right now are on your way to Wrigley Field right now to hang out at the bars and have a good time before you go to the game. So hello, how are you? You're welcome into the show, too, by the way, if you would like. 312-644-6767 is a number if you want to hang out with us on this here show of a lot of Cubs and a lot of Bears. Yeah, the White Sox, they lost yesterday. 3-1 the final score. I did take in, too, last night, the NBA Finals game 4. I have to say, like, I'm finally on board. I am thoroughly entertained by this final series, the series which... You know, I get it. Like the narratives of these aren't big markets and oh my God, what are they going to do? And this, it's not New York and God, Boston is out of there too. This is not ideal. It's really entertaining basketball. I look at it as, and I know this is not fair considering the fact that the actual MVP of the league is playing in this series, but it feels like to me, it has the feel of one of those future stars games where, yeah, of course you know some of the players, but you don't know everybody and you're just kind of getting to know it and it's fascinating and it's interesting and you know that when I say future stars, I mean like even the teams. Like I know this has been building a while, especially for Oklahoma City, even if you're not paying that much attention to the NBA. I mean, you know what's going on with this team, how deep it is, how strong of a future it has in terms of its resources. It's just ridiculous. Like OKC could be around for a long time, but now it's really starting to hit home. And these two teams, while terrific, aren't that known. So I, for one, have been enjoying getting to know them and to enjoy the basketball. And Oklahoma City beat Indiana last night, 111-104. And honestly, I'm rooting for Indiana. I didn't really know until last night, and then I just found myself organically rooting for Indiana. Probably the Midwest motif, but you know, there's that conflict in my heart too. I don't get excited when I see Reggie Miller. When they go to those shots of him, I'm like, Reggie Miller, hello. And his real enemy is the Knicks. But come on, man, if you're an old school Bulls fan like me, like there's a certain feeling about the Indiana Pacers. There's a certain feeling about Reggie Miller. And have we seen, by the way, has Larry Bird been out there? Because they go through all the various characters of Indiana Pacers past, and I know he's a Boston Celtic, but he was a prominent head coach and front office member for the Pacers as well. And I haven't seen them flash his face yet. Maybe they have, and perhaps I missed it. But let's begin. Let's begin today talking about your first place Chicago Cubs. After yesterday's loss, the 42-28. Chicago Cubs. And I'll say it again, there's been some losing going on lately for the Cubs, as in not winning series as the Cubs have been so good at doing. But I still think the Cubs are playing pretty good baseball right now. And if this is like a skid, if this is the way the Cubs skid a little bit and get a little bit sloppy and lose some ball games, maybe lose some series, if that's what this is, then I can handle it, because it's not happening in any way, shape, or form in any kind of a devastating fashion, even though the vibe I get from Cubs fans is that the sky is falling. The Cubs are, I think the most prevalent thing that I'm hearing from Cubs fans is that, oh my God, it's the Cubs are going back to what they were the last couple of years. Oh my God, an 83-win team. They're going back without the playoffs. That's what people get concerned about, especially when there is a slight disturbance in the force when it comes to the Cubs hitting. And there has been a slight disturbance in the force. Yesterday, and put the glasses on here. Yesterday was bad. That was bad. And I know it's Paul Skeens, man. I get it. But you've seen Paul Skeens a decent amount of times relative to other teams. You did hit well against Skeens in the previous outing. Like, you had him flustered. You had him walking guys. You had a lot of hard contact the first time you played against Paul Skeens. But the Cubs with runners in scoring position, I think they were 0 for 10. I think that was the number, 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. But specifically, like, painful moments. Like, you can read the recap of the game if you would like, but if you watch the game, you know that in the sixth inning of this game, it was scoreless in the sixth inning against Skeens. No score, runners on first and second, nobody out, and zero runs. The Cubs did not score a single run. That's inexcusable for this offense. I'm sorry. Cubs eighth inning, first and second, nobody out, and they only get one run out of that. And I think that was an RBI ground out at that. So it wasn't exactly devastating. You cannot have such things. The Pirates go on to beat the Cubs by a final score of 2-1 yesterday. And the Cubs were trying everything. Like, you could see, like, the managing, the intent, a little bit different in these games from Craig Counsell, or whether it is the base coaches or Ian Happ. Ian Happ, for instance, thrown out at the plate, trying to score from first on that Kyle Tucker double in the fifth inning with no score. Boy, was he a dead duck. Quentin Berry's had some moments lately, hasn't he? Yeah. He has. PCA. I don't remember who hit the ball, but PCA was on first base. Maybe it was Swanson. Let's just say it was Swanson for the sake of this conversation. Dansby Swanson whacks the ball into the outfield. PCA goes bouncing around second, scooting to third like he does. And then Quentin Berry is waving him home. And then Quentin Berry says, no, don't go back. And then PCA gets nailed there. Now, yesterday, Quentin Berry sending Hab. I actually get that. But that does go on the Quentin Berry record. I mean, Hap was embarrassingly out. Like, go back and watch Ian Hap thrown out at the plate. Was it the fifth inning? I mean, just a disaster. Just a mess. Wasn't near the plate. Out. No. Don't worry, Craig. Take the headphones off. No. You don't need to call the dugout. Ian Happ is all Ian Happ gets out of that is a dirty, filthy uniform. And he did. And the Cubs go on to lose the game. And I think that one of the themes has been, I talked about this the other day with Rami Makhlouf, when we were doing the afternoon show, filling in for Spiegel and Holmes. And that is, like, he made the point that the Cubs, you know what, they need to win these games against these ace pitchers. That's what Paul Skeens is, top five pitcher in all of baseball, for sure. Like, you got to win, you got to look better in these games. When you go up against Mackenzie Gore or Zach Wheeler, who they've gone up against recently, or Jesus Luzardo, like in the Cubs, you got it. These are the real tests.
Scooball.
And I get that. Scooball, thank you. Yes. That's the best example of them all. Thank you, Adam Stadzinski. You're supposed to suck, not give good examples of things like you just did there.
Sorry. I'll go back to sucking.
Give yourself one demerit. Are you okay, by the way? I'm sorry about the beginning of the show. I know. I told you this. I told Stadzinski, I said, scrap the opening song, the regular Steve Rosenblum, as he was getting ready, and I was a little late hooking up here. So I got you all flustered and angry. Are we cool?
No,
are
we're
we
okay? Fine. We're fine. Okay. We're fine. Everything's okay. Fine. Everything's fine.
Okay. No, we're good. You're here. We're on the air. That's all that matters.
You have to understand what happened last time when we played that opening. Poor Tyler Farengol.
Well, that's why I gave you the heads up so that you knew what was that was going to happen.
I know, and you told me that at the last second, and I was like, no, I can't do that. The last time I heard that, and the music cuts off, and then I'm supposed to talk without any music under me. The momentum gone. I failed last time, Studs, and I got all over Farengol.
Okay, so noted for the next time we do this.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
All right.
It's noted.
All right.
It's noted.
Okay.
And yeah,
we're all good.
We're good to go. I think it would have been funny to hear you struggle with that again because this is Saturday Suckage.
No, you're right. It is Saturday suckage, but I didn't like me the last time I reacted in real time to that. I got mad at Rosenbloom. I got mad at Farengol. I was lashing out left and right. Yeah, I was just like people that I was angry at in my life at that moment. I got more, the anger was exacerbated. So I just thought it was best that we come in with music. So, all right, we've got that solved. I'm glad. I needed to do that. But the Cubs have actually, in these games, against these really good pitchers, including Paul Skenes. Skenes yesterday, I mean, the Cubs make Skenes sweat. Like, Skenes has had some damn good games against the Cubs. Don't get me wrong. The last two, though, like in his life against the Cubs, I have felt pretty good about. Certainly the one previous to yesterday, for sure. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but they played very well. They hit him up good. They forced him into deep counts. Skenes, I think, walked three or four the last time. Yesterday, five innings. Did not allow a run, did Skenes. Four hits, five strikeouts. But again, five innings and ran up 95 pitches, did walk a couple of men. It feels like this is a lineup that it would be too dramatic to say that is in Skenes' head, but they don't appear to have great fear of Paul Skenes like they may have the first few times the Cubs faced him. So, and again, it's a good game. It's a 2-1 game that obviously, in 10 innings, by the way, a 2-1 game that could have gone either way, no doubt about it. So that's one example of, okay, they lost the game. Yeah, eventually you got to win those games if you're in the playoffs and all that. But game that probably could have gone either way against one of the best pitchers in baseball. The Mackenzie Gore game, I mentioned that. This is not necessarily in any particular order. That was Washington beating the Cubs. Washington wins the game. 2-0, the final score. In that game, Mackenzie Gore, seven innings, did not allow a run, three hits, seven strikeouts, one walk. Shut the Cubs down pretty good. But again, you had Matthew Boyd on the other side. I think that was the game where he had five perfect innings to start the game. And on the overall, you feel like, okay, you weren't out of that game by any means in the Mackenzie Gore game. The Zach Wheeler game, that was a wild game. Phillies won the game. Yes, they did. They beat the Cubs 4-3 in 11 innings. Wheeler, six innings, one run, three hits, seven strikeouts, and one walk. Obviously a game, though, against their ace that could have gone either way. The exception to all of this right here, ladies and gentlemen, and the Tarek Skubal game, since Studs mentioned that, was just a 3-1 loss for the Cubs in that contest either. So you're right in these games. The results got to reverse, but there's been nothing catastrophic about this run. The Jesus Luzardo game was kind of sports semi-chaotic, I suppose. I guess I would use that phraseology. That was the Phillies 7-2 win over the Cubs. That's a game where Luzardo had 10 strikeouts and didn't walk anybody. Cubs just weren't having it that day. They were having nothing. They were saying, let's get on the bus. Let's get out of here. We don't want any of this Luzardo business. And then the Skenes game. So it feels like while there's been more losing to these ace pitchers, there's nothing to suggest during this run that the Cubs can't play well and ultimately, eventually beat these ace pitchers. So that part is still very much on the table. I'm not as worried as some people appear to be, even though, like I said, you cannot have what we saw yesterday. Like, yeah, that's probably a game you got to win, with the Cubs losing to the Pirates 2-1 and, you know, having Skenes on the ropes. The other thing about the Cubs right now that I find very interesting that is going on is I think Craig Counsell is getting closer to managerial comfort in terms of getting this team to the point where he is comfortable with it, where he can do his magicianship, his orchestrating. He can be like, point to the left, point to the center, point to the right. I want that guy in. I want that guy pinch hitting. I want him out in the third. I want him up. Like, the whole dance, the whole ballet is coming together for Craig Counsell in terms of how he wants to run it. And I don't think there is any better example than what we're starting to see late in games out of the bullpen, low key for Craig Counsell, because it happened on Thursday. In the Thursday game, the Cubs 3-2 win over the Pirates with the excellent Jameson Taillon pitching in that game. It happened late. Ryan Presley comes. He comes in. Was that the first time? I think that might have been first time I remember him pitching the ninth in a situation where it was a one-run save situation. He probably came in like a five-run scenario when they were building him back up and getting his confidence back after some rocky outings. But there it was, Ryan Presley the save in a one-run game with Daniel Palencia taking a back seat there, if you want to say that, because he pitched the eighth inning of that game. So yeah, you began to see it. And then Palencia yesterday, for whatever it's worth, I'm not saying like Palencia has been unseated, if he was even seated in the first place, but Palencia in a 1-1 game yesterday, he was in there in the ninth inning. No Presley. My guess is he just was not available yesterday to Craig Counsell. And Drew Pomerantz, who, wow, what a revelation he has been for the Cubs. He comes into the 10th and ultimately gives up the game-winning hits. So it's interesting. It's starting to crack the surface of the way Craig Counsell liked to deal with games when he was in Milwaukee, and it's getting there. Like the Craig comfort, you're feeling it in many ways. You're hearing it in his personality, as you heard from our conversation live on The Score earlier this week, and you're seeing his touch on the field, or at least having the right personnel groups with which to do the work that Craig Counsell wants to do. We'll talk more Cubs later on. Specifically, Ron Coomer will be live at the ballpark at noon to help us preview the Cubs and Pirates. But next, let's switch it up. Let's talk some Bears. Scott Baer from the Marquee Sports Network will join us to talk about the Bears offseason program and upcoming training camp. I'm Mark Grody. This absolutely is Saturday Suckage on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Obviously a competitor, I want to be out there, but just doing what I can. Like I said, just continue to work. It's a blessing to even be here right now, to be alive, to have, you know, be in Chicago on this amazing team. So I'm just, like I said, keeping where my feet are, enjoying every moment, getting better every day, 1% at least, and just go from there.
Okay, Colston Loveland, the Bears tight end, first-round pick who has not been on the field doing any real practicing for the Bears throughout the off-season program. The plan is, the projection is, that Colston Loveland and Luther Burden, for that matter, will be full force, ready to go by training camp. It is Saturday Suckage, the WB Club. Without Steve Rosenblum, I am Mark Rohde here with you. I am here until 12:45 today. Cubs and Pirates, 1:20. Matthew Boyd against Mike Burrows after the Cubs 2-1 lost to the Pirates yesterday. We'll go back to Wrigley Field. We'll go live to the Score broadcast booth. As a matter of fact, at noon today, we'll bring in Ron Coomer to continue to break down that game. But yeah, that's it for the Bears off-season program. They had a couple, I think they said one final practice yesterday, not open to the media. We got our one practice in this week, and now the bell rings. It is. It's like summer break. It's like recess. It's really the one time on the NFL calendar where everybody who is part of the NFL in any way, shape, or form can say, yes, they are off. They are on vacation. They don't have to do anything they don't want to do up until they report to training camp, which is in late July for most teams, including the Chicago Bears. And one of the people that I get to work alongside of often out at Halas Hall and at Bears games, home and on the road, is Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network. Yeah, he covers the Bears for Marquee. He is also one of the hosts of the Chicago Football Show, and he joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Scott, thanks for jumping on a Saturday. How are you, sir?
I'm spending my Saturday as I have the last 10 billion Saturdays watching a youth baseball and being way too invested in the outcome. So, yeah, it's no football for me, but sports day never ends.
It's pretty incredible, man. Every time I talk to a Bears beat writer on a Saturday, whether it's you or most recently Patrick Finley or almost on the daily Dan Weederer, it's about the youth baseball. I can't believe Fishbane, all you guys are coaches, or not just coaches, or just completely obsessed with the product that is being played by your children.
I mean, it's they have these game trackers now. I mean, like, technology is cut up to the youth sports, just like it has NFL. I mean, you can get their war if you really figure it out. So I'm sure that they could do expected points allowed if we want to bring it back to football. So never go home, of course.
Yeah, that's a Ben Johnson favorite stat right there. I know you've been out there covering this, Scott, the off-season program throughout all of it. Is there anything that is there something that you conclude on the overall of anything super rich about the Bears from this offseason program as they did take their break before training camp?
Yeah, I think the most obvious thing to me, because we still haven't seen them put pads on, so it's hard to judge the offensive and defensive lines and the run game and all the other type of thing, but you can tell the type of tone that Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen have set over the course of the offseason program. He said it was going to be hard. He said it was going to be detail-oriented. And I'm not big on, like, the Bill Parcells style of, like, I'm just going to yell at somebody and tear them down, and that means I'm a tough head coach. Like, that doesn't interest me, and I don't think it's a productive way of coaching. But I do think Ben Johnson is like, if you don't break out of the huddle right, we're gonna do it again. Like, no detail gets missed. And that, especially coming off of the Eberflus era, is a marked change and something that simply has to be that way. And I think I've said this in conversations with you, that I would trust Ben Johnson to take my kid to soccer practice, right? He's got that good yeah. All-American dad, but there's a pit bull in there somewhere, and there is an unwillingness to accept below the standard, and that's something that stuck out to me. more than anything else, right? Caleb Williams made some mistakes. He's learning a brand new offense. He's brand new, like everyone's learning brand new techniques. Mistakes are going to happen. The spring is the time for it. But the standard that's being set is important, and I think that that's something that I've really taken away from this offseason program, is that they will accept nothing less than their bar, and I think that's important.
No doubt, no doubt. And the standard has to be set, and it seems like the culture that he is putting in is distinguishable. Like, you can look at it and say, yeah, I kind of I like where he's going there, because we've all seen NFL coaches. In my case, I've seen many Bears coaches set that standard and set that culture, but his just feels a little more credible. And one of the things that I'm thinking about with him, Scott, is more than ever, and I know that we've all kind of been thinking about this, but I think we've all been thinking about it in terms of embarrassment of riches when it comes to the weapons on offense. But I'm really trying to figure out how what is going to be featured in this offense, because as much as we'd like to think that everybody's just going to get the football and that's going to be ideal, there are guys that are not going to probably be getting the football as much. And some of this was brought on by the idea that you know, assuming Colston Loveland is healthy, it's possible. I've got people telling me and saying that it's possible Colston Loveland could be the second most targeted player on the Bears offense, where people wouldn't be surprised if they were to see that, with DJ Moore being first. And what I'm trying to figure out is who's competing with who out there, and Roma Dunze and Luther Burden and Olamide Zaccheaus, who's been very present in these OTAs. You could tell they like him, and Luther Burden and Cole Kmet. Like, I'm trying to figure it all out. Like, who's going to be left out in all of this, and who's going to be eating the most in all of this?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good thing to ponder, and it's something that I think the coaching staff is looking for, is who's going to be an alpha in the room? Who's going to demand it? Who's going to build the trust with Caleb Williams during the summer, that when we get to September, that they're going to be magnetic for the ball? And I could absolutely see Colston Loveland being the number two targeted individual. Just, and it's not necessarily going back to what the Lions did, but it's the ability to move around, right? To find mismatches. Are you a mismatch in the slot? Are you a mismatch in line against a linebacker or a safety? Because Ben Johnson's taking note of all that stuff, right? We saw DJ Moore, it might have even been you that asked the question, that we've seen DJ Moore in the slot like so much during the spring. Does that mean he's going to be in the slot so much during the fall? No, but they're trying everything and they're evaluating everything. And I could absolutely see that. The one thing that I would debate against that, though, is you've seen Roma Dunze physically. He is a big dude right now. He's put on tons of upper body lean mass, and he said that he wants to be better in those 50-50 balls. He wants to be better in traffic. And those are areas where I think, as a rookie, passive might be too strong of a term, but I think he needed to be more aggressive and be like, yo, I'm a top 10 pick. Respect me like one. And I think coming into season two, I think there's going to be like a little bit of an edge. I saw a bunch of catches in traffic. I saw him unafraid to go, you know, to go hard and be physical and be tough and be precise. And I think all those things are good things. The real deal, and we go back to set the standard, build the culture stuff, is that you can't have like a receiver prima donna who's like, I only got four targets this week. I'm upset, even though we won, right? And that culture needs to be cultivated, for lack of a better term. But I do think Rome is ready to take that next step. And in terms of target share, I think those three guys are very well going to be on top.
I love that. I love what you're saying about Roma Dunze and the edge part, because I was just saying this yesterday. I mean, he had a 700-yard receiving season that didn't feel like a 700-yard receiving season, because usually look at that, yeah, that's pretty good. That's decent in a 17-game season, albeit, but there just weren't, Scott, there just weren't enough of those top 10 rookie moments from Roma Dunze last year.
Yeah, and I think that he was in a unique spot, because if you're a top 10 pick in a major market with a massive fan base, everything gets dissected, right? Mm-hmm. But he kind of flew under the radar because they also had the number one pick that was absorbing all of that, right?
Yes.
So you're right. It was a very quiet 700 yards, especially because Malik Nabers is doing what he's doing in the country's largest media market, right? So you have to examine it that way. But I think internally, the expectation should still be high. This was the first receiver taken, if I'm not mistaken, at number 9 overall. The expectation needs to be high. And I think it was also underneath the fact that they had Keenan Allen, who's, you know, and they had DJ Moore. But I think this is the year where he needs to be like that dude. Now, that it's not his personality to be like Terrell Owens like, and I think that's fine. Like, you can be a quiet force, but I think he needs to be more of a force and more of a presence on a consistent basis.
I do believe Mr. Nabers was taken before him overall in that draft. Yeah, but no, point taken for sure. So yeah, I think that's part of why I asked the question was Rome Odunze. You took me in a perfect direction because, yeah, I mean, I if I was Rome, I'd be like, oh, you guys are drafting a receiver and Luther Burden in the second round. Oh, wow, you're drafting Colson Loveland, who's a, you know, can runs routes like a receiver often. I mean, so a little bit of I don't think anybody has said that. Oh, there's like within the Bears, yeah, there's pressure on Rome Odunze, but I would imagine that Rome Odunze just feels just a tiny, tiny little bit of competitive spirit, which is really good. We have to move over to number 18 for the Chicago Bears, and that is Caleb Williams. What did you discern anything from Caleb in this offseason program? And what do you think you have to see out of Caleb Williams once training? Like, by the time the middle of or towards the end of training camp is hitting, what should we be seeing out of Caleb Williams that maybe we weren't seeing last year?
Yeah, I was really trying to stay off of the, like, OTA play-by-play of practice, like how many picks he throw,
right,
like charting stuff. I'm still writing that stuff down, but I was trying in my mind to not make too much of it because of the new offense, because of the increase under center, because of the different footwork that he's being asked to learn. And, you know, so it's like, all right, he threw X number of interceptions. I really don't care about that. This is like the learning period, but I do think that as we get towards the summer, I think, and it's going to be important to see this offense kind of start to hit the timing, right? That while Ben Johnson is not going to take away the off schedule ability, right? That there's a certain amount of, like, when you watch the Lions play, you watch Jared Goff, there's a certain rhythm to how they operate, right? You know, in the footwork, back foot planted, ball out, right? That there's the play action looks a certain way. There's a flow. There's a, like a musical kind of cadence to it. And we need to start seeing that type of flow from Caleb. And I think that, look, the offensive line had a bunch of problems. He had a bunch of sacks. He had a bunch of, you know, unblocked quarterback pressures and things like that. But I think that you and I can both agree that he was never at his worst than when he was running around from sideline to sideline, praying for someone to be open and then chucking it deep, right? He can make these types of plays, but that's not when he's the best, right? You can fill a highlight reel with times where that works, but how many times did it not work, Mark? Like, a lot.
Yeah,
so I think that if he can find that type of rhythm and timing where when he's at the back and it's not the first progression, it's the second, but the ball is out and it's on time and he's accurate, that's when this offense is going to feel like it should. One thing that, you know, that I think about a lot, right, is that they're not going to be what they are. Like, they're not going to be the 2024 Lions on September 12th, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some time to get this thing revved. So back to the original point is that I need to see some timing and rhythm during the summer. I need to see that established, which can let me know, okay, this offense is starting to hum. There's no question about the talent. I'm not worried about that. That will come, and it will be expressed if he can get in that rhythm that we're talking about.
Yeah, no doubt, and well said. Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network. He is also one of the hosts of their podcast that you could watch on the Marquee Sports Network, the Chicago Football Show. What's been cooking on the podcast, man?
Yeah, we've been trying to have more guests, and I mean, you're super booked. Your appearance fee is sky high, Grody. I'm not gonna lie to you. But I apologize for that.
Sorry about that. My agent is something,
It's something else. But yeah, you know, it's just that we're just trying to keep the off-season conversation going, and it's a great time to ponder a lot of the things that we're talking about right now, like what can be. So now is dare to dream, and like, where's the ceiling, not the floor? And it's been a real honeymoon period for the Bears. We've been through this before, and they've been off-season champs before. But we're in this period where you can really start thinking kind of big picture. And that's what we're trying to do on the show right now. Obviously, when training camp gets up, you know, we can get real granular, but it's time to kind of take a step back, evaluate what we've seen, and think about what can come.
Scott, thanks so much for your time, man. I will see you soon, and thanks for coming on, even though you are trying your hardest. Do you say you're coaching a game or just watching the game?
We are in between games right now. I bit off every fingernail. So, you know, it's amazing how important these things get. Cubs, win or lose, I'm totally cool with it. The like nine new outlaws, I'm like living and dying. Go figure.
Get back to it, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Mark. See ya.
Yep. See ya. That is Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network. Yeah. See, I just like I do not have children. I am an uncle, so I don't get hit with this stuff nearly as hard as fathers do. And I know a lot of fathers with young children, and you know, I've seen it with my brother, so I get it. I watch it, but I don't feel it doesn't quite hit me, the uncle, the same way. But it's amazing in that Bears media room. It's like the mean reporter, the average reporter in there seems to be either the father of a child playing a sport and seemingly very involved, maybe even a little too involved the way it feels sometimes out there, but either really involved or the coach in some way. I have a podcast partner named Dan Wiederer of the Take the North podcast, who is apparently the top lieutenant. He's the top assistant. This is serious stuff. They have top lieutenants, man. Oh, it's a whole thing that young fathers go through. And apparently
I really want to see Dan coaching a game. We should have an excursion to a Dan Wiederer's kids game, Grody. A Take the North excursion to watch Dan Wiederer coach his kid.
That's a great, it would be just like we'd think it would be. His eyes would be like wide open the whole time. He'd have that super intense Dan Wiederer look, like a little exasperated at times, a little frustrated at times, a little bit argumentative at times.
How do you think 12-year-olds deal with that?
Yeah, but the one of the Wiederer things is he's a good vibes guy. He's a juice guy. He's a come on, look up, keep your head up, kid. Keep your head. You can't dwell in that. You know, let's rip off 20 jumping jacks here. Maybe we'll do some of those Tyson Bajan burpees, man. Totally sick. We gotta take a break here. It's Saturday Suckage. I'm Mark Grody, along with Adam Studzinski on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Presley works on the first base side of the rubber. Sets up high, kicks and fires. Fam swings. Ground ball to second. Fielded on the edge of the outfield grass by Horner. They'll throw to first in time. Cubs win as they start this series off right. A 3-2 victory over the Pirates.
That was on Thursday. The Cubs beating the Pirates by one run. Zach Zaidman with a call right here on the score. And it happened. It happened. I'm Mark Rohde, back with you on the score until the start of the Cubs game, 12:45. What happened was Ryan Presley got back to the top. He was the guy with the ball in his hands in the ninth inning in high leverage. A one-run save for Ryan Presley after Daniel Palencia had pitched the eighth, and we've seen this reclamation project going on for the last month or two with Ryan Presley, who had obviously lost the job, and they have gone through that the whole thing that you go through when a pitcher, reliever especially, almost solely, loses confidence. You just put him all over the place and great, make him the long guy. Make him the guy that comes in with a 5-run lead, with a 7-run deficit, a 3-run lead, a 4-run deficit. Just all sorts of places where you're not necessarily going to feel that tension. And then you start to wind it back up again, a little bit of higher. Maybe you're down a run and you're putting Ryan Presley in. Maybe you're putting him in the seventh inning now. Maybe as they've been doing, you're putting him in the eighth inning. And then you complete the project. Ryan Presley was back in there for the save on Thursday. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden Presley's back and he's your closer, because I don't think Craig Counsell necessarily does it like that. And you do have this very interesting prospect or possibility in Daniel Palencia. But I was seeing this coming, and I asked Craig Counsell earlier this week on the score before that happened about Ryan Presley.
Ryan Presley last night came in the seventh, 2-1 Phillies. Got a couple guys on, but he struck out the last two, including Kyle Schwarber, where he got him swinging on that high fastball, 95 miles per hour. And I don't know if he'd been hitting that high velocity-wise. It feels like he's been, like Presley has been ramped back up well after having some sluggish times early on. Do you expect to keep putting Presley in those spots, or do you think he could get down the line a shot in the ninth, which I know has been going to Palencia lately?
Well, I think what's important is that we just put zeros up when we, you know, so let's just keep putting zeros up as much as we can. Ryan's done a heck of a job. You know, he came back from a poor outing, just one where, and he's really around that one outing, he's been really, really good. So that's what we need. And I think all our guys in the bullpen right now are pitching really well. And that's all related in terms of, you know, the length the starters are giving us and the effectiveness of each one of the relievers. So just put up zeros, get outs, hand the ball to the next guy, and we'll add up to 27 and we'll add up to a win.
Yeah, and it's starting to make life easier for Craig Counsell. I mean, that's what any good or great manager eventually has at his disposal, and that is a worthy bullpen. That's what they know, and that's why when Craig Counsell comes to the Cubs and he agrees to come to the Cubs, somewhere along the line, he's like, here's exactly what I'm going to need for the bullpen, and probably has some say. I mean, we know he does. I mean, he essentially is why somebody like Drew Pomerantz is here. That's his guy. You know, that's Craig Counsell saying, hey, Jed, how about this guy, Drew Pomerantz, who's been very good, by the way. I know he was the last man standing yesterday for the Cubs, but Drew Pomerantz has been good. Just as long as we're talking about the bullpen right here, and Craig Counsell giving that answer to me and Anthony Herron on The Score earlier this week, that, yeah, that it makes sense. And there he was in the ninth inning on Thursday and make them out-getters. And Porter Hodge eventually will return. Caleb Thielbar. These are things, man. These are things that you, when you look back on winning seasons in Major League Baseball, there's two things that you get that are outside of the obvious. Contributions from guys you never thought you would have had contributions from. It's guys like Reese McGuire. That's the guy that you'll look back on for the Cubs if things continue to go well and be like, oh, yeah, remember Reese? Because Reese McGuire is probably not going to be on this roster at the end of the season, right? But you'll remember his two solo homers and some of the contributions that he made. Like, he's good every time he plays, it feels like. There's a contribution. So you have to have that, the wildly unexpected contributions. And then the other part is these, like, names that you remember out of a bullpen throughout a season. And again, maybe we're not talking about Drew Pomerantz as much at the end of this season, but he's been a huge part of what the Cubs are doing and keeping this whole staff together while their two top starting pitchers are out. It is quite the dance that doesn't just stress the starters, but it stresses the bullpen as well. And Caleb Thielbar has been on it. Brad Keller has been on it. We mentioned Drew Pomerantz. Daniel Palencia, keep that going, man. You know, I mean, I still feel like we're watching like real time do or die for Daniel Palencia sometimes. Like, has he got this? Does he have it? I think he does, but I'm not quite sure. And I guess you could say the same thing about Ryan Presley. Is he really going to stay steady now? Has he really worked his way back? But I think it's fascinating to watch. Let's talk more about the Cubs next. We'll go live to Wrigley Field, where none other than Ron Coomer is standing by as he digs in, getting ready to call this game with Zach Zabeman, the Cubs and the Pirates at 1:20 today at Wrigley Field. That's where we will go next on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.